Wow.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Security Unlocked, a new podcast for Microsoft focusing on artificial intelligence and machine learning and security. Check out the links down in the description below. And this podcast has had some technical difficulties, some human-related difficulties.
Are we playing a game of how low can they go?
So I've already had the conversation with my wife that on Tuesday, which we have to figure out when we're actually recording that episode, that swearing is not allowed.
Swearing is not allowed? Is that a problem?
Well, somebody asked a question about the technology that has caused like the most amount of pain in your life that we've introduced. Sure. And there was an expletive in her brief description.
Okay. Well, actually, I think people would enjoy that expletive if they could hear it. But I did. We were watching TV last night, and I paused it, and I said, "Hey, let me read you through the questions we already got." You know. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, kind of just putting that in her head, I think is going to be helpful for her. But I'm sure most of the swearing that happens in my house comes out of my mouth for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I'm trying to articulate how people realize, like, this is, it's not difficult, like what we do where we talk here every day.
It's not difficult. Yeah, of course it is.
It's not difficult, but there's definitely a skill involved in knowing. First off, I got to recrop Paul's head. But there's definitely a skill involved with cadence. And Paul and I actually do a fairly decent job of not talking over each other, which, again, it comes from just brute force of us sitting here and chatting every day. But like it takes moments and time. And
yeah, our wives don't hang out. So,
no, like they don't. Yeah, they don't go drink. They did drink, I guess, in Maui. But
yeah, no. Just in general, you know, like you and I are friends, I guess, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we're all, you know, we work together. We talk every day. You know, so there's a natural interaction that occurs. But our wives are not. They're not unfriendly.
No, but I mean, and for people who are curious about really like the sausages made, like the actual details, I pay attention. I know we like hamstring this podcast together, but now I'm annoyed because when I switched to Paul, it kind of, you like bounce and float around. Like it was never a perfectly smooth transition, but now it's like really rough. And so I got to rebuild this. Thank you, XSplit, for failing that.
Well, it seems like this happens every once in a while, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not. There's like, you know, this has been always been my experience with Skype type technology in general, I guess. Sorry, my cat's freaking out for some reason. Sometimes my cat hears my voice and assumes that what I want to do is play with her, right? Like I'll be doing Duolingo, speaking in Spanish, and she comes around and then like, "Hey, what's up?" And she heard me talking to you, and now she thinks for some reason we do this. We play in my office together, but we don't.
Yeah. I've lost. Things are just not going my way today, I think, is the way to describe what is currently going on at this very moment. I'm just waiting for something else to fail. Anyways, Microsoft yesterday announced, well, first off, we need to rewind the clock back for 7-8 months. Actually, I bet you could even find a timeline longer than that. We knew exactly when the Mars Perseverance rover was potentially going to land on Mars. And I say potentially because we didn't know if it was actually going to land or create another crater.
Yep.
But we knew. We knew. And so I'm sitting there watching this. Like,
to hear where you're going with this. This is amazing.
I'm sitting there all amped up, like watching this. Like, you know, we have 7 minutes of terror as this thing floats down through. And I'm sitting there with my wife. Like, I'm just listening to the audio. Like, I'm loving this. And like the whole thing lands. It's like people, they send pictures back from Mars. It's like, yeah. And then I pull up Twitter. And what do I find? Microsoft announced a new version of Office Perpetual. And they're cutting LTSC timelines from 10 to 5 years. They chose when the rover was landing to announce that.
See, that's not where I thought you were going with this. Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways. So Office 2021.
Yeah, they knew the world wouldn't be watching.
Office 2021, coming later this fall.
If you heard a squawking sound, that was my cat being airlifted into the next room by my foot. It's like, just get in front of me. I can't grab you while I'm doing the pod. There you are. Boop. You know, 3 points.
This is the epitome of a live podcast.
Yeah. I what I thought you were going to say was Microsoft has known for the same number of months that 21H1 was going to be a minor release. Why could they have told us then and then landed it on this day?
Yeah.
Which is also a fair point, but yeah. Okay. Yeah. The perpetual license stuff, obviously it's on the way out, right? Everyone understands this. You know?
I think they do it because it's a requirement, because there's always going to be that very small handful of customers that says, look, these machines are not connected to the internet. I need a version of Office that will run on that. And I think it will stick around forever. Now,
but they want to make it as undesirable as possible.
Right.
And, it's sort of like what LastPass just did with the free version of the service. Like, well, how do we make this so nobody wants this thing?
Right.
Because they want their customers over on the subscription version, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
And then the other announcement was the LTSC, the long-term servicing channel, was historically, up until the Mars rover landed, 10 years.
This is the milestone.
Yeah, and now that they put the rover, this is the third rover, right? Opportunity, what was the other fourth, one? Spirit?
I thought it was fourth one.
It might be the fourth one. Yes, I think you're right, because they had a really small one, but this is like the same, they landed like a Honda Accord on the planet. Like, it's not like a Surface Book 3 size thing. Like, this thing is huge. I think it's the third iteration of like that style.
That tech.
Of rover.
This is like throwing a snowball at a distant target, except you have to add in the gravity of planets and the distance of things and so forth.
And then the fact that they showed the ellipses that they had used for previous landing sites, and they're getting these things small. Like, they're not just throwing a snowball. Like, they're now throwing darts and hitting one of the center two rings on the dartboard at this point from that distance.
There's also the kind of a terrain difficulty aspect to it as well. They're not just launching it into a flat desert space or whatever.
Right.
This is actually the most difficult terrain they've ever landed one of these things in. So, a lot of it's like they're artificially bumping up. Like, what can we do to make this more difficult? It's like, I'll shoot the pull thing behind my back at the far side of Mars.
Just an incredible feat of technology. And
I find this stuff to be awe inspiring. I've always, I think we're the same on this. It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah.
And then, on the same vein, just because I enunciate a lot of times that I don't watch a lot of TV, but my wife and I are watching another series, Paul, and it's on Apple.
Can't wait to hear what it is.
It's on Apple.
It's on Apple.
Yeah.
Is it For All of Mankind?
It is, because this is like the natural evolution from we watched The Right Stuff, which was on Disney, and then my wife watched some other series by herself, but it was like some government-related show. It was a drama. It was like
on Apple?
No, I don't know what it was on.
Might
have been Netflix, Hulu, whatever. And it was like government related stuff, and like the Senate and the President and all that. And then I saw For All Mankind.
House of Cards, almost certainly.
It might be House of Cards. Yeah, actually, I think that's. Or it might have been Designated Survivor. I don't know.
Or it could have been Veep, which would be hilarious.
Yeah. And then I looked at the description of For All Mankind, and they do a really good job of blending like real stuff, like what really happened, and then branching off their own narrative from it. And it's, we both dig it.
So it's a great show.
Yeah.
You love it. I just found this out randomly. I think it was on Twitter, maybe in the comments, someone mentioned that the second season just debuted maybe last night or yesterday.
Oh, was it? So
here's the thing. Yeah. Here's what I don't know. Yeah. Cause we went back to we watched the show Servant on Apple TV Plus, which we liked. Second season just launched. We're like, nice. Just happened to catch it. So we were looking for a new show. And I'm like, hey, Servant's back. I'm like, great, we'll watch that, no problem. So, 8 o'clock, we watch Servant, whatever the episode ends. And I'm like, where's the next one? Oh, come on. They're doing it where it comes out like once a week. So we were like, so now we're just going to wait 2 months or whatever it is. And so, because we want to watch the whole thing at once. So I don't know they must do everything the same, I guess. So For All Mankind, what you probably have is all of season one plus one episode of season two or something. I'm guessing. So I don't know how you watch things, but you might want to you can binge watch the first season, obviously.
So we typically will only watch one episode at a time. Mm-hmm. Like, we won't sit down and, at least we haven't yet.
Yeah, but you watch them maybe not every single night, but.
Yeah, we've watched a couple nights in a row, I would say.
Yeah.
And so I think we're on six. I think there's 10 in the first season.
I don't remember.
So
it's a good show.
Yeah. So you know what else is a good show, Paul?
Yes, I do.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Security Unlocked, a new podcast from my friends over at Microsoft, Nick and Natalia, and where they take a closer look at the latest innovations in threat intelligence, security research, and data science with a special focus on demystifying artificial intelligence in machine learning. They just dropped a new episode. It's episode 15. I have not listened to it just because I think it came out yesterday, the 17th. So 2 days ago, I'm a little bit behind. Enterprise Resilience Breakfast of Champions. You should go take a listen because I am going to as well here in the near future. But this is a great podcast for those who are thinking about entering into this arena or this profession. And you can find links down in the description below, or you can go to right here, aka.ms/securityunlocked. And that will take you to right where you need to. And there's also links and things all over. And you just click them, hit play, and you are off and running.
Watch a lot of YouTube videos, you know, and like one of the things I'm always amused by is they'll say something. They'll always do this. They'll be like, they'll point up and they'll be like, click the bell or do the blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, the things you're pointing at are down here. I don't know. I guess maybe the UI is different in different places or something. Maybe they're thinking of a mobile device. Like, why would you don't point to parts of the screen, people?
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be in the top left corner. Like, you can do a little like call out cards or whatever, or you can just do like links down like there.
Yeah, you can see that's better.
That too.
Yeah, yeah, still seems longer than...
Anyways, I appreciate that that amuses you. That is...
I'm like a cat, you know, playing with some. Anyway.
One thing that does amuse me anymore, Paul, it still does or whatever, Google like just doesn't care about Android updates. Like, they don't take the mark, like they're announcing Android 12, and like, how do they do it? They just like hoof it out there. Like, there's no marketing event. There's nothing. It's just, here it is, done.
You know, but as a technical person, I kind of appreciate this approach, yeah. Right? And this is the old, you know, I miss these days, but the way of things in the Microsoft space used to be, you went when a new version of Windows was coming down the pike. And remember, you know, at the time, these were like 3-4 years apart, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The first hint of it would occur at an obscure hardware show for device driver makers and so forth, because maybe they were changing the driver model or something, you know. WinHack would come around, and you'd start targeting those guys, you know, device driver level, et cetera, et cetera. And then Build would come, and Build would be the, you know, again, general app developers. Mm-hmm. Here's, you know, the new stuff. And then, you know, after all that, you would kind of get to, well, here's the end user stuff. And the actual beta, you know, and that's what Google's schedule is for Android, right? They do the same thing basically. If you look at what they wrote about it, it doesn't sound very interesting at all. But what's always the case is if you actually go to install it, which, you know, no one normal should, but you can if you want, if you have a Pixel device, so you could just look at it in an emulator. There's actually stuff in there. Of course there is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of any early build of any platform. I mean, people who know the system can kind of dig around and like, oh, look at this. This is new. Or you can do like a side-by-side comparison. They're changing little slider switch or whatever the thing is.
Mm-hmm.
I just I know people don't like Google, and I get it. And certainly there are aspects to Google that I don't like for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of resent the fact that because they've been so successful in advertising, they can afford to have all these platforms and, you know, whatever. But If you're coming from the Microsoft space, you know, Google, I've said this before, you know, Google's kind of the next Microsoft. And this is one of the ways that I mean that, you know, they approach the market a lot like Microsoft does, really, you know, and they approach certainly the development of their platforms like Microsoft does.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that.
You know, like Apple does the big marketing thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Apple goes to developers first as well at WWDC mm-hmm. with any iOS release. But come on, that's a consumer marketing event, that keynote, right, where they start showing new features. That's not aimed at developers at all.
Nope.
But it's time for the developer event. I don't know.
Yeah. And very little surprise, Roku had a huge 2020. I would think that if you are a set-top box company and you didn't have a great 2020.
Quit.
Yeah.
Yep. It's time. Yeah.
Yeah. You could be the Quibi or whatever that thing was called.
Right.
Can you make Meg Whitman, $1.5 billion, just...
Yep, that was the services version of Essential or Slack. Like that, Slack should have had a big year last year, not really. Although I guess getting purchased is the booby prize. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, despite the fact that Slack didn't like blow up, like if you were a shareholder, you probably did, or an early employee.
Okay, Well, they're Salesforce's problem now. That's fine.
To be honest, I completely forgot about that until you said this. Like, yeah, that's right. They did get acquired by... Wait, who again? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. What's that company?
They're going to be part of Salesforce, whatever they call it, 360 now.
Sure. I can't wait till we go to shows again and we'll be in San Francisco. There'll be a Salesforce event and I can just start heckling people from the lobby of a hotel. I miss those days, Brad.
Anyways, I haven't been to San... We haven't been to San Francisco in a while because they moved... Build used to be there and now it's... Or not, was it built? Yeah, it was built. And now Build's back in Seattle, and Ignite is wherever Ignite wants to be.
It belongs in Seattle. I'm kind of glad they did that. But then again, I San Francisco is a kind of a hit or miss thing. Like, there are aspects of San Francisco I love, but there are definitely problems, you know, the homeless people and all that stuff. But
yeah. What else is
going on? And the developers freaking hate those people. I don't know.
You got anything going on this weekend? Good.
How about you?
I think my daughter's gonna go ride a horse because we didn't have it last week because it was too cold, and apparently this week it's fine. I don't know. And then it's supposed to be like somewhat decently warm, and I think I don't know if all this snow is gonna melt or not, but
it's snowing right now.
Is it? Just,
yeah. I told you this. I drove to the gym yesterday. Did this come up? No, maybe this happened afterwards. Yeah, I guess it was afterwards. I drove to the gym like an idiot yesterday because they texted everyone to say they were going to open at 10. And I waited till 10. I went. It was closed. And it was like treacherous out. And it was one of those things. I'm like halfway there. And I'm like, why am I driving my car in this? This is stupid. And then I got there and it was closed. Like, you guys, seriously.
Now there's always tomorrow.
Well, I went today, but I mean.
Or whatever.
The roads are still. I got to say, I don't know how to explain it. Like that really bad storm.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I wouldn't have driven in that. One of the earliest storms, it looked terrible out, but the roads were fine. But like the light snow, for some reason, the roads are awful.
Yeah, it's probably because they're already cold.
Yeah.
Much like yourself. Anyways, today's podcast is brought to you by Security Unlocked. You can find links down in the description below or go directly to their site at securityunlockedpodcast.com.
It looks like snow.